WRKC is proud to present the second season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King's students. We now present our 13th episode, Climbing the Charts.
Some days you wake up and everything seems perfect. My car was fully repaired from all the abuse it had suffered over the past 6 months. I could afford to buy a better wardrobe. My breath didn't reek of booze all the time. Yes, today I've got a feeling that everything's going to go my way. I walked into my office just knowing that whatever sort of problems or complaints Deborah had lined up for me wouldn't shake my spirit in the least.
Harry, get in here.
Good morning, Deborah. As you can tell, I'm only 25 minutes late. A new record. But please, there's no need for applause.
I don't care, Harry.
You're looking very nice today, Debbie.
Harry, I don't care.
Has anyone called?
There's a client on the phone right now. If you'd shut your mouth for 2 seconds, you'd know that. Now, will you please pick up the damn phone?
Yeah, give me a second. That didn't go exactly as planned, but I had been asking for it. The gods just couldn't resist having their fun with me. The one day I'm in a good mood, and I have work to do.
Harry is now. She's been calling all morning.
I took the phone from Deborah and heard a voice that I would sooner associate with an angel than a human being. It was soft, sweet, and calm. It exuded sympathy and understanding, and was just what I needed to hear after Deborah's outburst. Hello, this is Harry Flynn.
Hello, Mr. Flynn. This is Barbara Sono. How are you this morning?
It was odd to be asked that question. Most of the time, if I'm awake in the morning, there's no need to ask it. I'm clearly horrible. But today was the exception to the rule. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you for asking. Mr. Flynn, my husband James never came home last night, and I just need someone to check and make sure he's okay. This kind of thing happens all the time, but you can never be too careful. That's what I always say.
A somewhat strange request, but if she'll pay me for it. Okay, Mrs. Sono, where was your husband last night?
Smooth Place on 2nd.
He was out last night catching a show, huh? Maybe he had a few too many. Don't worry, Mrs. Sono. I'll find him.
Mr. Flynn, excuse me. My husband wasn't watching a show last night. He was performing in it. So sorry. Should have mentioned that earlier. I just assumed you knew, but you know what they say about assuming.
It just dawned on me who I was speaking with. James Sono was an up-and-coming singer who had a dedicated following in the city, and could always be seen with the most famous individuals in the entire city. Everybody knew he was going to be a star someday, and now I'm on the phone with his wife, who's asking me to find him? How can a local celebrity go missing? Well, I had one idea how, and I didn't really know how to approach it. Forgive me for asking, Mrs. Sono, but your husband doesn't, keep certain company after his shows, does he?
They all ask that. But no, he doesn't. Because he knows if he ever did, I would beat him senseless. He is not like that, Mr. Flynn. He loves me and I him.
Suddenly the voice didn't sound as sweet anymore.
James does like to have a good time after his shows, though. Alcohol is such a terrible habit.
Yes, it is.
This is a fairly regular occurrence, Mr. Flynn. I'm hiring PIs all the time just to make sure he's okay. It's just that I have this suspicion that our current PI is taking advantage of us. He's always suggesting things that are much worse than they seem, making everything bigger. But never mind that, Mr. Flynn. Please find him and bring him back to our residence. I gave your secretary the address. Thank you very much, Mr. Flynn.
I won't let you down. I'm sure it's nothing. I've never had a case quite like this before, or one that seemed so easy. James Sono couldn't hide in this city any more than President Roosevelt. But like all missing persons cases, time is my biggest enemy. So without missing a beat, I took my coat from the rack and walked straight toward the door.
Oh, Harry.
Yes?
Don't you dare ever call me Debbie again.
Duly noted. Smooth Place on 2nd was a posh club downtown, and anybody who's anybody is there every weekend, which explains why I've never been past the sign out front. However, I didn't have any trouble getting in this morning. They must relax their policy at 10 a.m. Walking in, I noticed a few employees still cleaning up from last night's events, while a tall man in a suit sat by the bar counting bills. Excuse me, are you the owner?
Yeah, name's Frankie. Come on over, grab a seat. What can I do for you?
I didn't think Private Eye was going to get me any answers, so I decided to give him an occupation that had been very helpful to me over the years. Nice to meet you, Frankie. I'm Harry, a reporter for the Ledger, and I'm trying to get a story on James Sono. I understand he performed here last night. Sounds like he's the real deal.
It's a shame you missed him. We haven't had an act like him around here in some time, let me tell you. No, wait. Let these tell you.
Frankie flashed the wad of bills he was counting, which took about 5 seconds to file through. I could only imagine how many drinks he could buy at Glenn's. Hell, I could probably buy Glenn's with that kind of money. Wow.
You're telling me. Kid's a draw like no other. Real class act, too.
Did he stick around after the show?
No, but from what I hear, he never does. He likes to stay away from crowds. He and a few other big-name singers slipped out of here around 11 last night.
Any idea where they went?
What kind of store are you going to run, pal? If you think I'm going to tell you how to find the most famous entertainers in the city so you can publish it to the masses, you're out of your mind. I'm not losing this kind of business.
Strictly off the record. I'm just looking to score an interview with him, that's all.
I'll make sure you're on the streets by the end of the week if you do anything else. The whole group of singers like to frequent this place on the other side of town. A little hole-in-the-wall kind of joint called Tall Glasses. It's a really quiet place, and it better stay that way. You got it?
Yes, sir.
Now get out of here before I tell you anything else that could ruin my business.
This could take longer than I thought. Apparently, it's possible to be in the public eye one second and invisible the next. It took about 10 minutes to get to Tall Glasses, which was down a back alley and around a corner where the only people who'd find it were those who knew where it was already. Frankie took one hell of a risk telling me where it was. I can't expect to get that lucky asking questions like that in here, where privacy seems to be everything. No one took any notice of me as I entered, and I took a seat at the bar next to a lanky man with his hat over his eyes. Nobody came to serve me, so I sat in silence for a few minutes. Finally, the stranger next to me lifted his hat just enough to see my face.
Who told you how to get here?
An acquaintance.
Good answer. We like our privacy here. No tattletales.
Yeah, I kinda got that.
What's your name?
Harry. Harry Flynn.
Nice to meet you, Harry. I'm Donnie Kyle.
Now that's a name I recognized. Donnie Kyle was an established singer who could be heard every night of the week on the radio. I got to know his voice well enough since I just spent the past 3 months in my apartment, the radio as my only companion. The Donnie Kyle?
Now, Harry, I come here to get away from questions like that.
I'm sorry. Let me try again. How's life in showbiz?
Same as it ever was. Just did a show last night across town with all the up-and-comers, and a few of us more accomplished entertainers.
I heard about that. They say that Sono is going to be huge someday. Is he really that good?
The kid's got talent. More importantly, he's got buzz. He was here last night with me and a few of the other singers.
A bartender approached the two of us. It seemed like Donnie's conversation with me meant that I had passed some kind of test I didn't even know I was taking, and was now eligible to be served.
What can I get you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
Get him a shot of whiskey on me.
You got it.
The drink was nice of Donnie, but I had to keep my eyes on the prize, which meant keeping the conversation on Sono. Man, what I would do to meet James Sono. What time were you here last night? I bet I just missed him.
I wouldn't know. We got here around midnight, I'd say, but I don't know how long he was here. When I left at 1, he was still here.
He left last night at midnight and he's back before noon? I'd have sooner assumed that he spent the whole night here. Not that I have any experience with things like that. Sleeping in bars. That's just sad.
Shot of whiskey.
I noticed Donnie started eyeing me up. My questions didn't sit well with him, and I got the feeling that even though he worshipped privacy and staying out of the spotlight, he was annoyed that we weren't talking about him. I quickly reached for my drink, but in my haste, I knocked it over, spilling it all over my shirt. Oh, damn it!
Now what did you do that for? Don't you know how to drink?
Sorry to cut this short, but I have to get back to work. And now I have to change. It was nice to meet you, and thanks for the drink.
You too. Take care now.
I made my way back to my office, keeping my window open to dry my new shirt. Damn whiskey. At least my car was still running great, and I could only imagine what Deborah would have done to me if I walked into the office with booze on my breath instead of my collar.
Well, how'd it go?
I made some progress. I know Sono was out until at least 1 at this obscure bar across town after he performed last night. But that's about all I know.
What happened to your shirt?
I spilled.
Aw, Harry, that was brand new.
I'm aware, Deborah.
Sorry, Mr. Flynn.
I'm sure there was at least one other clean shirt in there somewhere. But before I could get my coat off, Deborah burst in.
Harry, Officer Spinelli is on the phone.
I'll be right there. Hello?
Hey, Harry. We have a gentleman at the station trying to report a crime, but all we can get out of him is James Sono. We called Mrs. Sono and she said that he never came home last night and that she hired you to find him.
Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. Well, what did you find out?
I'll explain it when I get to the station. I didn't get to spend 3 minutes at my office. Not even enough time to change a shirt. No matter, there were more important things at hand. James Sono could be in danger. After telling Deborah to call Barbara and let her know I've spoken to the police, I yet again got into my car and sped to the station. As I got out of my car, I noticed a frustrated Brody outside having a cigarette. I didn't know you smoked.
I don't.
Is everything okay?
5 minutes talking to that witness and you'll be out here too.
I entered the station and quickly spotted Spinelli, whose brow indicated that he was having a less than productive day. His eyes were bloodshot, and he walked slowly towards me.
Harry, I've dealt with drug dealers, organized crime, and murderers, but I don't know if I can take any more of this. Come on back. You can't enter the interrogation room, but you can watch from the window.
We slowly made our way through the entrails of the station house, arriving at a room in the back corner of the building. A peculiar, gruff-looking man sat in a chair at one end of a lone table, his eyes frantic yet exhausted. Whoever this man was, he had a long night. Spinelli opened the door and put his hands on the table to support himself.
Now, can you tell me again what happened last night to James Sono?
Uda! To have to enter the street, we were to have to have to have to and then have to be able to recommend what we like to have if it's feeling good and to have 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 to have.
Mm-hmm. Thanks again, Mr. Horowitz Nelson.
Exactly as he entered, Spinelli slumped out of the room.
This has been going on for 3 hours. That's Catfish Horowitz Nelson, the folk singer. All we've managed to understand thus far is something happened to James Sono.
Well, I talked to Donnie Kyle, and he says that Sono was at a bar until at least one last night.
We're guessing the crime happened around two. Sono and Horowitz Nelson were probably alone when it happened.
Well, what do we do now?
Get civilian help. Somebody had to see something. It's not like a folk legend and a pop singer can just walk around unnoticed.
Radio announcements were made offering a cash reward for any information on the whereabouts of James Sono, or when he was last seen. About 3 hours and 40 pointless calls later, two women entered the station saying they'd seen the crime.
We saw what happened to him.
Yeah, we were just leaving a bar when we saw James Sono.
Okay. Then what happened?
He was walking down the street with this backwoodsy-looking guy when these two big men just ambushed them and started swinging. The other guy got taken down quickly, and they nabbed James Sono.
Did they say anything that would help us identify him?
Yes, they weren't worried about us at all. They talked like we weren't even there.
They called each other Lead and Iron and said that they were headed to the side door afterwards. They even asked us if we wanted to go with them.
That was the last thing I needed to hear. The side door was a bar infested with thugs and the worst kind of criminals. Every time you entered, you were taking your life into your hands. But at least the police were involved with this as well. Sono's disappearance was now a lot more than a night out on the town.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of Climbing the Charts, but first, a word from our sponsor.
From the terrible minds that brought you Invasion of the Communist Martians, Frankenstein meets Abraham Lincoln meets an inexplicably friendly tiger, and Decisions Made by Idiots comes a brand new vision of horror.
Gerald! Gerald, what is it?
Why, Christine, I just don't know anymore. It's a...
I told you this would happen, but nobody listened to me! Now we're all going to pay!
It's so hideous! Ah!
Honey, get away from there!
Watch in abject terror as everything you hold dear is taken away and you question the meaning of your life!
It looks like an airplane, but without wings!
But why? Why is it here?
This is a sign from God!
Is this because we voted Democrat?
Look how many of them there are!
I'm heading to the mountains! If you want to live, you'll do the same!
Feel the suspense as the proud people of Everytown USA fight back. Which town is that? Yours!
This is our country. This is our town. And I am not prepared to just give up. These things just think they can roll on in here and take all that we've worked for.
No!
Look out!
It's coming right for us!
Coming to theaters this October, it's Foreign Automobiles. What will you do when they come to your town?
I swear, next time I'll buy American.
Sponsored by General Motors and Ford.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
Spinelli, Brody, the two whistleblowers, Alex and June, and I headed to the side door. I already felt dirty just standing outside the place. That's not just because of the whiskey stain. Alex and June were both on edge, and even Spinelli and Brody showed some nervous tics, despite both wearing street clothes so as not to cause a scene.
Okay, we're all going to go in, and all you have to do is point at the two guys who assaulted James and Catfish. Understand?
Yes.
You ready, guys?
Yep.
Let's go. It was exactly as I remembered it. Men a foot taller than me and twice as wide littered the pool tables and the bar. One wrong move, and we could all be in some serious trouble. The women attracted stares from all corners, and I did my best to stand between them and these thugs. Which guys did it?
That's them. Over there by the pool table.
Great, they're by a back door. All right, Brody, that's your cue.
I really thought I was about to witness a murder. Brody has never shown himself reliable in practically any situation, and I had no idea what Spinelli and Brody had up their sleeves.
You guys want to put some money down on a game?
I never lose.
That's okay. I never win. Let's play.
I turned around to check on the women. We're making a break for the door. Hey, where are you going? My yelling attracted the attention of Lead and Iron.
What are they doing here?
Let's get them.
What about our game?
Keep the money!
I burst out the door after Alex and June, who took off running down the street. I followed and heard the door slam open again as Lead and Iron gave chase. But they didn't get far as Spinelli and Brody weren't about to play around.
Get down on the ground! Brody, cuff them!
Don't let those girls get away. They did it!
The thugs were apprehended and locked in the squad car as the chase continued. Luckily, Spinelli is in much better shape than I am and quickly caught up to the women. A short time later, we all reassembled at the station, joined by D.A. Robert Murdoch.
Do you recognize these four people?
I'll take that as a yes.
Who is this man?
I'm Harry Flynn, private investigator.
Get the hell out of the police station.
With all due respect, Counselor, he was instrumental in bringing these four in.
Fine. He can stay. I understand James has been missing for almost a day now. Let's get these four deals and get Sono back sooner rather than later. It's going to look terrible if we can't get such a high-profile case closed without casualties.
It had been a long day already for Spinelli with his interrogation of Catfish, but now he had four bickering people in a small room ready to kill each other.
You two sold us out! What? You are... God, why did you do that? And God will leave you down!
Listen! Listen! I need answers here, and if you cooperate, your sentences are going to be reduced.
You tried to sell us out, you crazy!
I am not joking here. I don't care. Tell me about what happened and where Sono is, or I'm going to throw the book at you. Every minute you waste is another year on your sentence. Cooperate and we'll talk. Start at the beginning.
This DA was fierce but efficient. There was absolute silence before Alex began to explain.
Some shady guy in a hat approached me and June and told us he'd give us $60 each to go crazy when Sono walked by. He told us that he would be coming out of this little alley. All we had to do was ask for his autograph. Things like that.
That's when we'd come in. The same guy said he'd pay us $120 each to take him and the bearded guy out while they were distracted, and then to lock up the younger guy in some old building.
Where did you take James?
This abandoned factory on York Avenue.
All right, I'm getting that man out of there. And guys, find out where Donnie Kyle lives and bring him in.
Why?
Because it's a competitive business, and I know he was at the bar James was at shortly before he was nabbed. I'm heading to York Avenue.
You don't think you're going without the police?
But it was too late. I was already out the door. Took a little while to find a factory. York Avenue was one of the many streets where industry had once thrived, but met its end like so many other companies did after the stock market crash. I pulled up to an old wooden door and slammed my body into it with everything I had. I heard it crack, but it still needed one more shot. The door rocked open and I saw James Sono tied to a chair, unconscious. He had a nice gash on the side of his head. James! Wake up! A bullet just missed my head and sailed out the door. I heard a hissing sound as I turned to see one of my tires deflating. You've got to be kidding me!
Next time I won't miss.
You hit my car! I just had that fixed!
What are you going to do about it?
I didn't even have a reply. I reached into a place I didn't know I had and tackled the thug to the floor, grabbed his pistol and slammed it into his head, matching the gash James had on his own. You don't know how long it took me to get that car repaired. You don't know how much money that cost. What are you doing here? What were you going to do with James?
I was being paid to keep him here until the weekend, then kill him. Please don't kill me.
I'm keeping your gun. Now, let's get you out of here, James. But before I go, I pistol whipped him again and the thug passed out. It wouldn't take long before the authorities would get here. He would be in for a rude awakening. I untied the singer and took him to my car. After slapping on my piece of junk tire, and with the address Deborah took from Barbara, I got James back to his very upscale home on the north side of town.
James, I told you not to stay out so late. Oh, Mr. Flynn, thank you so much for bringing him home. That gash is nothing we can't take care of. I'm sure he will be just fine.
It doesn't appear to be that deep, and don't mention it, Mrs. Sona.
Here's what we used to pay our last private eye. I'll admit I wasn't going to pay you as much, but after what happened, I think you've earned it.
Thank you, Mrs. Sono, but I can't take all of this. The police did everything they could and more to get your husband home safe and sound. They deserve most of this money, not me.
Well, you seem like a man with good judgment, and you'll find a way to thank all of those who helped with the rescue.
I have to get back to the station and make sure that the man who did this is getting what he deserves. Take care of James. I want to hear him sing live real soon.
Thank you, Harry.
There was only one thing left to do. Make sure Donnie Kyle was put behind bars. I can't believe I almost shared a drink with the man. Some people just can't handle not being the talk of the town. Well, Kyle, I'll make sure everybody's talking about you, but not because of your singing. Back at the interrogation room, Kyle was already being grilled, but he was still unaware we were onto him. I stood next to D.A. Robert Murdoch outside the door as Spinelli asked away.
What did you do after you left Tall Glasses?
I went home. I was in bed by 12:30.
The D.A. looked uneasy as Donnie sidestepped each question with a phony alibi that, of course, we couldn't prove was false.
We need him to slip up.
Where are our accomplices? None of them can rat him out?
None of them saw his face through his hat. Can't make an identification. Plus, even if they could, I don't know if a jury would buy their testimony. They've all been arrested for their actions.
What about Catfish Horowitz Nelson?
You're kidding me, right?
Give me a minute with him.
Absolutely not. That's against procedure.
Do you want this guy locked up or not?
Okay, do it.
Do you have a radio anywhere? Some of the boys in blue set up the radio in the interrogation room, while Kyle sat in silence. He looked confident and smug, but I was determined to get that smirk off of his face. Kyle's song, View from the Top, was almost over as I entered the room.
Of all the things I've seen, all the places I've been, what I like best is the view from the top.
Donnie?
Harry? What the hell are you doing here?
The police called me in.
You too?
Yeah, they asked if I knew anything about Sono's disappearance.
Same thing. But I've told them about 100 times now I didn't see anything. I left the bar before Sono did, and I don't know what happened.
Must be nice being a celebrity. You get a radio in here. You can really sing, Donnie. You going to be performing again this weekend?
Yes, but in Washington, D.C. I won't be back to the city for a few months.
That explains the thug waiting to kill Sono. Kyle would be out of town and have a great alibi. I heard a squeaking noise as the doorknob turned. Just like I told him to, Spinelli came in and interrupted our conversation.
Neither of you guys want to change your statements?
No.
Nope, I didn't see anything.
You sure?
Yes, we're sure. Can we go?
Just a second, guys. Gotta finish some paperwork.
Actually, officer, I would like to change my statement.
What?
Yeah, I was actually hanging around Tall Glasses that night, trying to find the place. You'll never believe what I saw.
What's that?
I saw a man in dark clothes with a hat over his eyes give a wad of bills to a couple of people on the street. Then they just stood on the street for an hour or two.
Why didn't you say that earlier?
I guess I didn't think it was relevant.
That'll be very helpful, Harry. We have those who accepted the money in custody.
Yes, I'm sure that will help bring the man behind it to justice.
Donnie's demeanor was changing, if only slightly. His posture was suffering and his eyes began to dart around the room. He looked guilty. And that's because he was.
And we're getting more and more information by the hour. We'll get him soon. Is there anything else you gentlemen want to say?
No, I'm fine.
Yeah. I was about to give up finding the bar when I passed by the street again where the man in the hat had stood. There was a bearded man lying unconscious. I helped him up and I recognized him as Catfish Horowitz Nelson.
Who are you?
A big fan of his. Oh, did I mention that I found James Sono about an hour ago? He's fine. Back home to his wife. Do you want me to tell you what he and Catfish said? Or maybe you want to hear what the thug who was holding James hostage said?
Yes, that would be all we need to find out who assaulted those singers.
The doorknob again. Here comes Murdoch. Donnie was a sitting duck and he knew it. Maybe he was going to try to pay us off for our silence like he paid so many others to do his dirty work.
Sorry to keep you gentlemen waiting. Am I interrupting?
Not at all. Harry was about to tell us who was behind the Sono disappearance.
As soon as I hear that name, I'll arrest him on the spot and make sure he gets the maximum sentence.
Can I say something?
Of course. You want to change your statement?
Yes. I did it. I paid all those guys and those two girls to kidnap Sono. He was taking all of my glory, all of my fame. I couldn't let him have it. I can't go back to the bottom.
Well, we can't all have the view from the top now, can we? And, by the way, Donnie? James is still unconscious at his house. I never got a name out of the thug, and nobody can understand Catfish Horowitz Nelson.
Damn you, Harry Flynn.
With Donnie Kyle put away, I could finally rest after what was one hell of a day. I don't even remember how I was so peppy this morning. Just goes to show you how difficult it is to keep your spirits up when you deal with these kinds of people. Between serial killers and jealous former superstars, sometimes you just need a release. That's where Glenn's comes in. I already ruined my shirt and damaged my car. A little alcohol on my breath and I have the trifecta. I decided to invite Spinelli and even Brody to come along. It was my way of getting Barbara Sono's pay to the right people. We all sat at the bar while James Sono's new song, Unstoppable, began playing.
My love for you is unstoppable, darling, and it just grows and grows.
Drinks are on me tonight, gentlemen. Courtesy of the Sonos.
Thanks, Harry. Your bluff worked like a charm. We would have had a hard time putting Kyle away without a confession. Nobody ever saw his face.
I'm getting better at this whole lying thing. Just don't ask me for an alias. Sat there talking about the events of the day, wondering if the stress we put on our bodies due to our jobs would ever come back to haunt us. All of us were deep in thought, our minds silently contemplating what the next day had in store for us. Whether it was all worth it. Whether we...
Man, I can't stand this music.
Well, two of us were deep in thought anyway.
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, Climbing the Charts, was written by Mark Zurich. Cast for today was Brandy George as Deborah, June, and Kelly. Brandon Leon Gambetta as Harry Flynn and Catfish Horowitz Nelson. Jen Momenzada as Barbara Sono, Alex, and Christine. Drake Nestor as Frankie, Robert Murdoch, and John. Lucas Tomasacci as announcer, Spinelli, Led, James Sono, and Peabody. Mark Zurich as bartender, Officer Brody, Iron, Thug, and old-time announcer. And guest starring DJ Nat as Donnie Kyle and Gerald. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Log on to www.harryflynn.wikia.com or find us on Facebook for all your Harry Flynn-related needs, including MP3s of all previous episodes. Tune in next week for another exciting episode of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.